Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Today we're starting a new series out of the book of Exodus, from which is, again, your second book in the Bible, so in the Old Testament. And I want us to do a series entitled Defining Moments, learning from the lessons from the life of Moses. And how many know Moses had a ton of defining moments in his life? It started really in Exodus 2, where we're going this morning, but I mean, you have the burning bush encounter in Exodus chapter 3, you have the parting of the Red Sea, you have the Mount Sinai experience, because how many know good things happen on the mountaintop, amen? And so he has these encounters with God up on the mountaintop, and then he has his journey through the desert, and which wasn't all good, wasn't all bad, but there was a lot of bad in the midst of a few good things that happened in the desert. And so I want us to do this series that we're walking through the book of Exodus, just grabbing some highlights from his life, entitled Defining Moments, because in your life so far, in your young life, you've had many defining moments, and you're going to have many more defining moments. I mean, I look out across the sanctuary this morning, and I can, you know, I could point to people even in the last 6 months that have had incredible defining moments. Some of those are just like, wow, awesome. And others of them are like, that was not good. And how you walk through that is huge. And so let me, as we get going this morning, I'm going to kind of skip over some stuff and just dive into some background. So if you will let me kind of just set the stage this morning for this message and give you some background from the book of Exodus. I know that's not an attention-grabbing, maybe introduction this morning, but it will do nonetheless. Exodus means departure. It means a going out, and it records the departure of the Israelites from Egypt, and where they had lived in for more than 400 years in captivity. They entered the land of Egypt as a little family. And they're leaving the land of Egypt as a huge nation, as a massive group of people. And through this series, we're going to be looking at Moses, as I've already said, as he leads the nation of Israel through one of its darkest seasons in its history, and its truly defining moments and also refining moments. God will never waste a moment. This series is timely because I know as you look back over your life in the past, even the last couple months, maybe a couple years, as you look ahead, you can rest assured that God is using these moments as defining moments for your life. And he will lead you as he did the children of Israel. He led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He led them through a place where they should have had muddy ground to walk on, but it was dry ground as he parted the Red Sea. He led them through with protection. He protected them from pestilence, and he provided with them with incredible abundance. So we can be confident in the Lord. He did it for Israel. He's done it for you in this room before. He'll do it again. So today is more or less a setup for the rest of the series. So if you have your Bible this morning, go to Exodus chapter 2. It'll be up on the screen as well. But the people of Israelite, or the Israelites, if you want to call them as that, the Israelites are descendants of a man by the name of Jacob. This is just all background a little bit. You can read about him in Genesis, which is, again, the first book of the Bible, if you're not familiar with that. And God changed his name to Israel. God changed Jacob to Israel. He called him by Israel after an all-night wrestling match that was quite climactic. And Jacob had 12 sons. And one of those was named Joseph. And just a little bit background on Joseph. Most of his brothers didn't like him because Joseph was given a dream. And in this dream, he went to his brothers, he went to his mom, he went to his dad and said, hey, I had a dream. And in that dream, y'all are going to be bowing down before me. How do you like that dream? How many know that didn't go over very well? His brothers got upset with that idea, and so they took him out as they were taking care of the sheep and said, hey, let's kill our brother. And one of the brothers came to his rescue and said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just put him in a pit. And then they ended up selling him into slavery. By the hand of God and by Joseph's faithfulness and dependability, he rose to a place of prime minister in the nation of for the nation of Egypt. He literally went from the pit to the palace. And during that process, during that elevation of position, if you will, Pharaoh had a dream. And he couldn't figure out the meaning of that dream. One of the guys that had spent some time in prison with Joseph remembered that Joseph could interpret dreams. So he told Pharaoh, hey, there's a guy that I was doing time with that can interpret dreams. You should call on him. And so they brought Joseph before Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted those dreams that there would be 7 years of abundance, bumper crops, and then 7 years of horrific famine. And because of his position, Joseph's position within Pharaoh's household, it allowed his family, Joseph's family, to move to Egypt. And for 400 years, they've lived there, the nation of Israel. It was an incubation time, if you will, for this nation. Egypt was the perfect place for that to happen because the Egyptians didn't like nomadic shepherds, and that's who the Israelites were. So they pretty much just left them alone. How many of y'all like to be left alone, right? And so they just kind of let them alone and do what they did. And in that time, they grew in numbers to become this massive nation, if you will, within Egypt. And it allowed their protection as the children of God to be protected. Just to give some backstory, though, because I've given you a lot and you haven't had enough this morning, right? The Pharaoh that was ruling when Joseph rose to prime minister had passed on. There was a new Pharaoh in rule now, and he begins his reign as a part of a group of people, of Egyptians, that were really anti-Semitic. They hated the Jewish people. They are concerned about how many Israelites there were, so he decides to enslave them, treat them harshly in hopes that it would reduce their numbers. And you can read about that in Exodus chapter 1. We won't take time to go there this morning, but what the Pharaoh decided to do is this. In Exodus chapter 1, he said, he gave this order, kill every male child born to an Israelite. They must be killed. And that's where we pick up in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that the child was a fine child, it sounds like they're from Mayberry, it's just a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. We know that this isn't this couple's first child because Moses had an older sister, Miriam. How many, every brother needs an older sister. I had two of them. I survived. And we know that he had an older brother named Aaron. And when she saw that he was a fine child, the New Living Translation of Scripture says that he was a special baby. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it's up on the screen. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict, which was what? To annihilate, to remove all male babies. Verse 23, his parents, we know this from verse 23, that his parents were people of faith. And it would be easy for us to see that and just to kind of just keep on going and not pause here for a second. It's important that we realize what we're reading, what we're seeing here. God speaking to people, God directing people, and it took great courage for their obedience. Look what it says. They were not afraid of the king's edict, the king's judgment, to do away with the babies. They were walking in faith. They weren't walking in fear. They were not afraid of what the king commanded. And when they hear God speak to us as a people of faith, may we be motivated by our faith. May we not be step back in fear of what's going to happen if we do this. How, you know, if I live this life, if I make this decision, if I trust God in this way, what's going to happen? And then we begin to play the what ifs out. What if this? What if that? What if that? But what about this? Moses' parents don't do that. You understand that there is a God who is going before you. There's a God who is watching over you, preparing and caring every step of the way. They saw that the child was beautiful. Can we just have an honest moment here? How many know not every baby is beautiful? We were at a restaurant last night, and I'm thinking about my message, and I look over, and they had a little baby, and I thought, that baby's not beautiful. I just kept it on my breath. But you don't tell, how many know, on the flip side of that, you don't tell their parents who think that their baby is absolutely beautiful, you don't look at them and say, Austin, your baby's really not that beautiful. That would not be wise, right? Because every mom and dad should think that their baby is absolutely beautiful, and it is, but there are some that you just are thankful that in a couple months they will expand out, right? But look what the New Living in the NIV says. The New Living says this in Hebrews 11:23. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them, what's it say? An unusual child. Now some of you are going, that classifies my kid right there. Right? And they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. They understood that this child had a destiny, that God had set his hand upon this child, that this child had a purpose. The NIV puts it this way: by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. In the book of Acts, Stephen, as he's preaching a message that would cause him to be martyred, said this in Acts chapter 7, verse 20. At this time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. There was something unique about him. For 3 months, he was cared for in his father's house. Literally, he was fair in the sight of God. In other words, God had his eye on him. God was watching over him. Can I just remind us, that isn't just true with Moses. That's true with every person in this room. That's true with every person watching online. That's true with every person you come into contact with, whether you like their lifestyle or not. God has a plan for them. It doesn't matter what the situations of your birth were, if it was accidental, if it was caused by a night of passion between two strangers. It doesn't matter if it was an oops, we weren't expecting that one. God willed your creation. God willed your salvation. He's preparing you for the life that was going to unfold before you. And with that underpinning truth, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might upon your life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for where his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should what? That we should walk in them. We went and caught Spider-Man. So let me just give you a quote from Spider-Man in light of Ephesians 2:10, where God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Quote from Spider-Man: all great power, with great power comes great responsibility. Right? Sorry, I just had to do that. Sorry. But you think about it, that's great power. You're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It's great responsibility. Every person has value. Every person is noticed by God. Robin was sharing with us the other night at the dinner table. She had got went and visited a local establishment over by her work, and the gentleman at the window, as she began to talk with him and engage with him, clearly was struggling with some identity issues. Robin was just talking with him, and they got into conversation about where she works, and so she's just there, like just letting the conversation go, just dropping truth, dropping love, dropping Christ in there, dropping, hey, you are valued, you are important, and I'm going to be at this drive-up window again, and I'm going to have opportunity to speak life into you again. I'm going to have opportunity to speak who you are in the eyes of the Creator of the universe. You are a person of value and great work. God has equipped you to do what he has called you to do. Every person matters in the eyes of God. Moses' parents understood that. All of that to say this. Moses' parents understood that God had his hand on this child. And they take him down to the Nile. To put him there. To protect him there. Because they understood God had a purpose for his life. Maybe they were like a little bit like Mary, the mother of Jesus, after the angel appeared to her. And it says of Mary, and she pondered these things in her heart. Jacob, it says of Jacob in Genesis that he pondered God's hand and working in the life of Joseph. Maybe that's what's going on with Moses' parents. It causes me to think of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, where it says, train up a child in a way that he or she should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Obviously, that involves spiritual training, true? But a part of parenting is steering your kid and helping your kid to develop the gifts and the talents that you see in them from a very early age. And helping them to go in the way that they are created, to go in the way that God put his hand upon them to go. That is Moses' parents. They are aware and sensitive to the plans and the purposes of the Lord upon Moses' life. Even in the midst of this backdrop of a king, of a Pharaoh that wants to destroy every male child, every male infant of the Israelites. God has a chance. God has his hand on our child. God has a plan for Moses' life. God has a purpose in his life. This edict isn't going to hinder God's plan. Verse 2, the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. My question is, as I read that, is like, how do you do that? How do you hide an infant for 3 months? I mean, they didn't have soundproof homes back then. How do you keep them quiet when they're fussy, when they're tired, when they're dirty, when they're hungry, when they find their voice and they begin to just squeal? Right? How do you do that? How many times did you, honest moment, parents, how many times, parents, did you wish you had a basket in the Nile River right close by? Right? Instead, for us, it's like the baby seat and the minivan. It's midnight. We're going for a drive because you will not be quiet. Right? Look at it. Verse 3. And when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it in beltmed, which is tar. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her young woman walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. So they put the child, they put Moses in a basket. And I want to submit to you that they just didn't pick some random spot and put him in the river in some unknown area. They put him by a bathing area. And my guess, my hunch is that they knew who went to that bathing area, that Pharaoh's daughter would go there. Look what happens, verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the child went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. This is absolutely amazing to me. This should stir within us a boldness and a confidence to be willing to stretch out our hand to God's plans and God's purposes and God's asks for our life. Whether you fully understand what is happening around us or not, or what's unfolding before you or not, you can be sure that God is going before you. There are times God calls you as people of faith to do something that does not make sense. But if you will trust the Lord, you will see God work in supernatural ways. How do you orchestrate this account? Moses' mom is now going to get paid for nursing her baby. Think about it. Verse 10. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." We don't know the exact timeline. Most scholars believe that Moses' biological mom had him for between 2 to 5 years before bringing him back to Pharaoh's daughter. And while she was Moses' biological mom, had her son, I want to submit to you that she's just not taking care of his biological needs, his physical needs. She's teaching him about God, about God's promises, about God's plan for his people. She's sharing stories of faith, the faith of Abraham, who was willing to leave one place and to go to a place that he didn't really know, but he knew that God had called him, and she was sharing the stories of Abraham and the stories of Isaac and Jacob and the story of Joseph with her son. Those stories he learned from his mother's voice stuck with him, I want to submit to you. When he became the leader of a nation, later they would guide him and steer his ways. Man, I am so, so thankful for Pastor Nathaniel and Pastor Levi and their devotion that they have to disciple your kids and our students. But mom and dad, their 3 hours a week doesn't compare to your every day. Grandparents, which I am one, and it's like awesome. And so every opportunity I have with Lincoln, man, I'm praying over him. I'm speaking over him. I'm calling. I don't know what the Lord has for his future, but part of my responsibility is to see it and to speak it and to call it out of him. And to partner with his parents to see it happen. So their 3 hours doesn't compare to your everyday. It shouldn't replace what you do. It should supplement what you do. Developmental psychologists tell us that half of what a child will know by the time that they are 18 comes from their first few years of their life. Parents, I want to just encourage you, be the primary voice in your kid's life. When they're this big, I hope it's your face they're looking into more than a screen. I hope that you are the one mentoring them more than the TV or the game console. I hope they hear you pray. I hope that their favorite time of the day is when it's bedtime and you grab their little kid Bible or some devotional book and you sit down with them and you read them Bible stories and you pray with them. If you aren't able to be with your child because of your career and you're working, and so you're using a daycare to help, and there's that happens, and there's nothing wrong with it. This is no condemnation statement at all. But I would encourage you in this, that you would do your best to make sure that daycare, that caregiver is helping you invest in their spiritual development, giving them principles of faith. I'm so thankful for Pastor Nathaniel. The Gouges run a couple daycare centers, one in town and one on the south side of Wichita. And Ed had come to me and was like, "Hey, you know, we run this center. I really want to see these kids get some spiritual truth deposited into your life. Can we partner somehow?" And so Pastor Nathaniel goes over to All About Kids once a week, and he drives out to the south side of town once a month and just does, like, preaches to them, to just get, tells them the stories of Scripture, invests in their life. I'm so grateful for that. I commend the Gouges for that. Moses only had 2 to 4 years with his parents, but those years made an impactful difference in his life. She then takes him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he begins to be raised in the ways of the Egyptians, right? Most likely his name, we know that his name was changed to Moses at that point. We don't know what his biological parents named him. But the Pharaoh's daughter called him Moses, which most scholars believe was probably named after an Egyptian deity, a pagan deity. And he's trained in the arts and the science and the philosophy and the astronomy of the Egyptians. He's changed in their government. He's trained in their war and in their ways of medicine and in their how they run finances. He's there. I mean, he has a front row seat in Pharaoh's household. Let me just say this. A lot of this morning is to parents. As parents, no matter what your setting is for your students, whether it's public school, private school, even, well, if you're homeschooled, it'd come to stand that you're involved in what's going on in their educational development, but be engaged in your kids' schooling. What they're learning in their classroom, the resources that are being put before them, and then discuss it with them. Discuss it with the teachers if you have questions about the content of curriculum. Don't go on social media and blast something. Have a conversation. When our boys were young and it came to that time of third and fourth grade, and I knew that the schools were like, "Hey, it's springtime, it's time to talk to the kids about the birds and the bees." I knew that Robin and I, we talked about it early on, even before we had kids. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to handle that? When are we going to have this conversation? And I knew when it came to that time in their life, when it came to sex education time, there was no way that we were going to let the school have first dibs in shaping my child's understanding. Not because I feared them doing it wrong, though I do have concerns on some of the content, but it's my role. I want my kids to see the wonder of their body through the lens of what God says about them. How God wants them to function. So, we would have conversation with them. I would contact the school. I would say, "Hey, I want to, you know, watch those award-winning video productions that you're going to show my kid because they're high quality and you know, good entertainment." And so I'd watch them just to know the content of them. But part of what we did was prior to that season of that year of school, I'd say, okay, Austin, Caleb, man, it's time for a road trip. And it was really fun because Austin, when he was that age, we lived in Western Kansas. How many know when you're going somewhere in Western Kansas, it's a long road trip, right? I said, man, it's road trip time. Where do you want to go? I want to go watch a Rockies game. And so we loaded up in the car, made a special day, headed to out west, driving out to Denver to catch a Rockies baseball game, have a special meal, about mile marker 254, heading into Colorado. Looked at Austin, said, Austin, I need to have a talk with you, son. And just dived in, watched him squirm a little bit, watched his face turn red. My face turned white, had the conversation. It was awesome. Did the same thing with Caleb. When we lived in Topeka, we went to Kansas City for the day and just talked about life and about what God said of them. Acts chapter 7, verse 21. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. Moses was a man who had influence, and when he spoke, people listened. Why? Because God's hand was upon him. Something happened to Moses, though. He was brought up, as we said, in the wealth and in the ways and the prestige of Pharaoh's household. But something within him awakened or rose up. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let me just pause, because I know there's parents in the room that you've raised your kid one way. You raised your child to follow after the Lord, and they've gone a different route. And you're holding on to Proverbs, the promise from Proverbs, raise up a child in the way that he should go. As long as there's breath within your child, there's truth within your child. There's seed within your child, spiritual seed that can come to life in a moment's notice. Don't give up hope. Don't lose sight of that which you've deposited within them. And I say that because of what you see happening in Moses' life. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Something awakens within him. For some in the room, some watching online this morning, perhaps you've come here today. Doesn't mean that you're living in horrific sin when I say this. Maybe you are, but maybe you're just living life and you have been consumed and you're focused in on career, you're focused in on education, you're focused in on athletics, you're focused in on all this stuff. But you aren't living in the ways that you were raised. The God you knew, the God you read about, the God that you would put your head on the pillow as your parents read you scripture at night and prayed for you, is a God that seems a long ways off. Can I just say to you, it's time to come home. It's time for faith to come alive. It's time for you to realize, you know what, I've been allured by the wrong things, by the ways of the Egyptians, if you will. And I wake up every morning and I do this thing and I feel like I'm on the gerbil on the wheel, just chasing it, but it's always out of reach. It's never enough. It's always empty. I have to outdo what I just did. And God's saying, come home. You know you aren't living right. You know you are serving the things of the world, living for them, and you know it's not satisfying. God is calling you to do what Moses did. Turn your back on the world. Do not let the world be your priority. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to identify with God's people, be your ambition. God has things he wants to do in your life. He wants today to be a defining moment in your life. He has things he wants to speak to you. Man, I am so confident of that, to show you that are so good. And you, like Moses, have come to a point of decision. You will serve God or the world, which will leave you empty. The other day in staff, we were talking about, you know, the playoffs and Tom Brady's retirement, and one of the guys had mentioned a 60-minute interview with Tom Brady that was done years ago in his career, early on in his career, and I just want to take us back to that interview because he says something so powerful and so profound. Here is a man who has a bank account most of us can't even fathom, has success by worldly standards. He's won Super Bowls as a young man at the time of this interview. He has a beautiful family. He has everything that is the allure of the Egyptians. There has to be more than this. How many of us in this room have said such a statement? I know I have. Moses feels this calling, feels this yearning for true north, if you will, in his life, and he turns his back on his position that awaited him, the wealth, the prestige, the influence of this powerhouse nation during that time. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, one day when Moses had grown up, he went out. Literally, he left Egypt behind to his people. He's like, man, I thought I was an Egyptian. Had influence, training, position. Raised as a child in the way that I should go. And he's saying, that's not who I really am. I really am a child of God, and that's the way that I want to go in. And he looked on their birds, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. Moses says, I'm with that guy who's getting beat up. Acts chapter 7, verse 23, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He was being intentional. He was engaged in this defining moment before him. It wasn't accidental. He realized God had a plan for his life. And he had to decide to follow God. We have to decide not to be content with who we are, where we're at spiritually. I mean, I'm so thankful for the 21 days of fasting and prayer, because you go through a time like that and you're just like, man, it produces a greater hunger within you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they should, because they will be filled, right? I mean, it's this idea, I'm just, that's so good, I want more. If you're away from God, if you're here this morning, you've been away from God, doing your own thing, you have to decide to turn back. It's a moment of decision. It says he decided, he identified with his people. For us, we identify as God's people. We identify with God's church. Why did he do it? Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 23, or Acts 7, 23. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. Why? Because he remembered, why did he do that? Why did he protect his fellow Israelite? I want to submit to you, because he remembered the lessons that his mom had taught him and spoke over him. Moses, the hand of God is upon you. Moses, know that he's a God of promise. He promised Abraham and was faithful. He promised Isaac and Jacob, and he was faithful. Moses, you can walk confidently with him like Enoch walked with God and was no more. Moses, God has a plan for your life. You're made in his image and his likeness. Exodus chapter 2, verse 12. And he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and sought, "Surely this thing is known." Sidebar, when we're allowing God to define us, we embrace defining moments. God is, when and we're willing to embrace those defining moments, we're able to do way more than we can in our own strength. Steve, why do you say that? That's kind of random. In this moment, you have Moses trying to lead, right? He's trying to lead in his own strength. And in his own strength, he wasn't able to bury one Egyptian that was attacking his fellow Israelite. But 40 years later, he's not moving in his strength. He is moving in the strength and the power of the Lord and the calling of the Lord upon his life. And because he's moving in God's strength 40 years later and defined by God's call, he was able to bury an entire army of Egyptians as they went through the Red Sea. Think about that. That shows the importance of embracing God's defining moment in our life. Verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. If the worship team would come. Let me just wrap this up and talk to you about creating defining moments in your home. Parents, specifically talking with those that have kids in your home still. Parents, train your kids spiritually. This is essential. I want to encourage you. I want to admonish you. Every night, tell them a Bible story. You're like, you want me to open up the King James Family Bible on our coffee table? Is that what you want me? Well, if that's all you got, I guess you can use that. But go to Walmart today, go to Mardell's tomorrow, order online, and just get a little kid's Bible that has pictures and begin to unpack those stories with them and pray with them every night. Even when they're tired, there's nothing sweeter than watching your kid drift off to sleep as they're listening to a story of Scripture. And you get to just put your hand on their head or on their heart and pray with them. As they grow and they enter into their tween years and teen years, you're like, well, they've kind of outgrown the picture Bible. I would encourage you, you're modeling for them. They're seeing you do that, but walk with them and begin to encourage them to do it on their own. And especially when they get into their teen years. Okay, now son, you know, I'm going to pray with you before we go to bed because that's just what we do. Every night I'm going to pray as you're under my roof and you're under 18, I'm praying with you. You're still in high school, I'm praying with you. When you get older, I'm opening the door for you. That was a bad joke. Sorry. But I'm praying with you. And as they were in their teen years, we would inspect, how's your devotional life going? What are you learning? Well, Dad, I'm kind of in a rough patch. I really haven't been doing it. Oh, okay. Thanks for being honest with me. Hey, let me sit down with you tonight and we'll do them together. Let's just read through Philippians and we'll just take a chapter in Philippians or a few verses in Philippians and when we'll read it and we'll talk about it together and we'll just kind of unpack it and talk about how does this apply to your life right now, son? Well, it applies this way to my life, and this is kind of, you know, and then we pray. And then we do that for a couple weeks, and then I would just kind of step away. So, okay, now you do it. Okay, you're back in the groove. Do it. And then I'd come back in a week or so later. How's it going? Oh, it's going good, Dad. I'm in the lane. But how many know you always got to check to make sure They're staying in the lane. And just inspect that. Invest in what is important. Education is important. Sports, kind of important, but important. Band, choir, arts, kind of important, important. But their spiritual development is what they're taking with them into eternity. Not a little blue ribbon for participating in club soccer. Not a drumstick because they were incredible drummers or whatever. Not that any of that's wrong. But this is of eternal worth. Let them hear you talk about believing God for yourself. About stories of faith that you're reading in Scripture, but also that you're coming into contact with fellow believers. Let them hear what you're believing God for. If I could just be really transparent with you, I may have mentioned this months ago, but I was just really convicted a while back about, you know, man, I'm faithful with my devotional time and my prayer time every morning. It's my routine. But I wasn't faithful in sharing what the Lord was talking to me about with Robin, with the boys. You know, we'd gather around dinner and we would talk about a lot of things, but the Lord was like, hey man, you know, I'm speaking some things to you, right? Yeah, well, share those things. They need to hear them. And so it was funny, several months ago, I can't remember when it was, we were home Sunday after church and everybody was over and Robin had made dinner and so we were sitting there eating and then everyone was pretty much done. We're just chit-chatting and I was like, hey, I need to talk to you guys. And like the room just like went and all eyes were on Dad and I knew what they were waiting to say, waiting to hear from me. They were like, oh, you dirty dog, Dad. You're telling us that you're going to move. I mean, that was like, that there, you know. And I was like, hey, I just need to, number one, I need to ask your forgiveness because I have not been good about sharing with you what God is sharing with me in my devotional time. And I want to be better at that. Because though you're not my little kids anymore, you're still my kids, and I still want to speak, and I still want to model for you and be an example for you. And so we had that conversation, and you know, I wish I could tell you every time we got together, man, it's just like, you know, I pull out a pulpit and I begin to share it all, and I you know, I don't do that necessarily, but we do find more conversations happening, and it's good. But years ago, if you'd put that picture, I've talked about this before, but I love this picture. It's the second to last slide, man, if I did it right. I have a picture in my office, and it's a picture of Austin and Caleb. And I know you can't see it, but it's when they were like little. Caleb is he's not even one yet. Austin, they're all decked out. And can you not get that picture? They're all decked out, you know, in cowboy stuff. And to the right of it says the little chap who follows me. Careful man I want to be, a little chap follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Sounds like a country song, doesn't it? Like me, he says, he's going to be that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer suns and winter snows, I am building for the years to come, or the years to be, this little chap who follows me. And though this picture in there is of them as little boys, that call, that burden, that weight is still as heavy upon my heart and my calling as a dad, as a follower of Christ, to influence them today as it was back then. And now I get bonus points called grandkids. And I realize how I live my life today and the decisions I can wreck their life just as much today and burden their life just as much today as I could have if I would have done something selfish back then. Right? And I just use that as an example, parents, to say, raise up your child. Be an example. Let them hear you pray. Daily depend on God and embrace the defining moments that are coming to you in the coming days. Don't fear them. For any of us, don't fear them. Don't run from them. Because you know God is with you. God is calling you. God has brought you to this point. He's not surprised with what's gone on in your life the last month, the last 2 months, the last week, the last day. He's with you. He believes in you. He's for you. Would you bow your heads? Father God, I thank you for defining moments. And God, I know we've all wasted some of them. We've missed them. But God, I thank you, Lord, that we can walk with confidence into our today and into our tomorrow. God, may we have a heart like Moses that wouldn't settle for Egypt and the lure and the promises of Egypt when we know there's a greater call, there's a greater purpose, there's a greater destiny, there's a greater moment living within us, there's a greater moment that's coming before us. Oh God, may we not settle. God, that we would press on to the mark of the high calling that you have placed before us. If you're here today, and the defining moment that you need to start with in your life this morning is that of beginning a relationship with the living God. To know Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, what he wants to do in you, and what he's prepared for you. And you're here this morning and maybe here in this building or watching online and you're like, Steve, that is where I need to start. I want to have a defining moment with God. I want this to be a new day, a new beginning. I want him to cleanse me of my sin and make me a new creation. I want to live not for my purposes, but the purposes of the God who made me and the God who purchased my salvation. Though I don't fully understand all of what it means, I want to know this God. And you're here in this place, and that's the cry of your heart. That's the longing of your heart. You'd say, Steve, would you just pray for me this morning? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? I want to take a moment and just pray for you right where you're at. Anyone at all? Oh, Lord, you know every heart in this place. You know where we're at in our relationship with you and what needs to happen. Father God, I just pray, Lord, for your grace and your power and the transformation of your Spirit within us happening. And God, may we yield to it. May we repent if we need to repent and allow you to be our Lord and Savior, because it's all good, Lord, when we do that. And it makes a new day, a new beginning. Lord, for those in the house that they are needing to turn back and come home, maybe they don't have a laundry list of sin and indulgences that they're taking part of. Maybe it's just, you know, I've been distracted and I've not been living in step with what I know God has called me to be and to do. And I want to get back in step. I want to get back in stride. I want to live the purpose and the plan that God has for me and not be short-sighted by the things of this world. You're here in this place. It doesn't mean you're going to be a missionary. It doesn't mean you're going into full-time ministry. You're in ministry right where you're at. You're in ministry in your home and in your place of work and how you're living life. What an incredible opportunity. But you're like, Steve, I just pray for me. I want to live at my fullest capacity for the Lord. And there's some things that I need to turn away from to lock in. Would you just slip your hand up to the Lord? Just say, God, see my hand. Lord, that's where I'm at. Lord, I want to come home. I want to live in the fullness of your presence each and every day. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, just begin to talk to the Lord right where you're at. And for the rest of us, may it be your prayer, may it be our prayer. Lord, help me to recognize defining moments that are presenting themselves even right now. Help me not to resist them, but to run to them in confidence, God, knowing that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And God, you're going to open doors, you're going to close doors, but you just want me to walk towards you. Help me not to get in a hurry, help me not to run ahead of you. But God, I don't want to live by fear. I don't want to let fear define my next steps, Lord Jesus. I don't want to isolate myself and just go to a well like Moses did. Lord, I want to walk in obedience, and I want to step towards this moment that is before me. And God, that your voice would be clear. God, I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.